I have known our speaker, Andy Periucci, for a long time. I got to work side by side with him on some congressional campaigns and just have the utmost respect for him. I think you're the first non-female presenter we've had on Power Hour. I could be wrong about that, but we're honored to have you, Andy, because I know you can relate. Andy's wife is involved in politics. And so if there's ever been a cheerleader for getting women elected to office, it's Andy. But let me share with you also some of his formal accomplishments, as well as my personal relationship with him. Andy has extensive experience in political campaigns and the policy process. He spent 3 years working as a congressional campaign manager for Representative Rob Bishop and has worked in a variety of campaigns of all kinds, from presidential races to city council campaigns and at every level of government in between. So you can see why we asked him to speak to us today. Andy previously owned his own campaign consulting firm, Envision Strategies, and is now the manager of his title is State and Local Government Relations in a big aerospace and defense corporation. Andy worked as the Director of Public Policy and Business Development at the Utah Valley Chamber. He also spent 4 years at Utah's Department of Agriculture doing different policy issues there. But here's some really cool things about him. Well, it's all cool, but he is an adjunct professor right now at UVU at the Center for National Security Studies. He serves as a member of the Utah Advisory Committee for the U.S. Global Leadership Coalition and has served on many different local government advisory boards. He also has a really cool educational pedigree. He got his degree in political science from USU. He obtained a master's in public administration from the University of Utah and has a certificate in business, international relations, and political economy from London School of Economics. And Andy, you're crazy. He just started another master's degree. It's a Master of Arts in Naval History at the University of Portsmouth. He also has a young son. So I don't know how you're doing all this, Andy, but maybe you'll share that as we get started. but again, before we turn the time over to him, his name came first to my mind when we were talking about speakers on volunteers. Like I said, when I say I worked with him, I basically watched him in action. He was just so great with constituents. It was like he was the elected official because he was so genuine and honest and patient with all the people that would come to the booths and those conventions that I'm sure you all have attended. And it's just such a good people person and a great leader of volunteers. And I have, like I said, the utmost respect for Andy's knowledge in this area. So without further ado, I'll turn the time over to you, Andy. Thanks for putting up with that long intro.
Thank you, Jen. You're really kind, and thank you for the really kind intro. And I'm honored to be the first, allegedly the first male speaker at this thing. If that's the truth, then it's an honor. I'm excited for what you're doing with Project Elect, and I'm really excited to hear Eileen that you're running. It sounds like are you connected to audio right now, Eileen? I'm curious what you're running for right now. Sorry, you're on mute right now. For a moment, you jumped off. I was just curious, just to help shape some of the discussion, who all is running, or are they looking for volunteer opportunities? Because I'd really like to make this a conversation more than a presentation today.
Well, I am running for city council in South Salt Lake, District 3.
Awesome.
And I know I need volunteers, and I really feel stuck on that, because sometimes I'll ask people, you know, do you want to volunteer? Do you want to donate to my campaign? And you know, they don't really say much, or they say, no, I'm not really into it that much. So I know I need help, even though my race is a small one. And I just feel very nervous about asking people to do that or figuring out how to do that. Theoretically, people want to get involved and help, but that's not how I feel.
Yeah, no, it's a challenge. It's a serious challenge. Laura, Charmaine, I'm curious, are either of you running, or are you interested in getting involved? What's your interest level in this discussion? Because that'll help guide what we talk about today, I think.
So if it's okay with Laura, I'll go next. I found Project Elect when in June of this last year, we had a judge. I'm from Texas, by the way. I'm outside of Utah. I am a member of the church. And so we had a judge kind of go off the rails. I'm an attorney, as well. We had a judge here locally that just did a really bad job and ended up resigning. And then there was an opportunity for an appointment to replace her. And I applied to replace her. And that was when I first started with Project Elect, joining some of the meetings, because it was right when it was just starting, because I thought, if I do get appointed, I'm going to have to run. Like, I want to commit to running for office. And Project Elect actually really helped me. They connected me with a judge in Colorado that reviewed my application, my letter. It was very helpful, submitted everything. And unfortunately, it went to another judge as a political favor. The person who got appointed, the Republican commissioners, nominated their friend that had donated to their campaign, that unfortunately also does not practice in the courtroom. He was transactional. So I was a little disheartened about that. And I'm not really sure what I'm going to do going forward running for office. All of our judges are up for election in 2022. I have a lot of people telling me, you should run. You have the experience. You have the poster child family thing that could really go well. I don't know. So it's kind of different here in Texas, but that's where I'm at. I'm trying, in case I do run, I'm trying to be prepared for,
awesome,
or when I do run. Is it going to be next year or not? I'm going to wait and see how November elections go and then make that decision.
Great. Thank you. And Laura, how about yourself? Are you interested in volunteering on a campaign or running yourself?
So I'm currently volunteering on a campaign. I really feel passionately about supporting women who are running for office and helping them get elected. I'm open to running in the future. I feel like timing is not quite right for me right now. So I'm just gaining experience by volunteering and learning as much as I can.
Awesome. Well, that's great. Thank you, all of you, for sharing your experiences and your goals with this. I come at this from a couple of different perspectives. One, as Jen mentioned, I've had experience managing volunteers and recruiting volunteers and activating volunteers for campaigns. But I got started in campaigns as a volunteer, and then made the transition from being a volunteer to being a paid political operative. That was an interesting journey. Laura, I don't know if this is something that interests you, but I just would say that keep engaging and volunteering, because as you're volunteering, your work is noticed by people and then opportunities arise. The political world can seem really daunting and really large, but in reality, it's actually a really small world. That's even more true when it comes to campaigns. And so the pool of really high quality volunteers in the political campaign world is small. So Eileen, please don't feel disheartened that you haven't been able to activate volunteers yet. That's not rare. It happens to everybody. Just to give you kind of an idea of some of the challenges that I faced when I was doing congressional campaign volunteer work. There are a lot of people that say they want to help. And it's tough to get people to focus their time and energy on something when they're not receiving anything from it. One thing that I learned really quickly on is the best way to activate a volunteer is to give them something specific to do. It's one thing to ask if somebody wants to volunteer, but if you say, hey, would you be willing to help me with X event or with Y delivery system of handing out mailers, that they're more than likely to say yes when they know what it is they're going to be asked to do and how much time that commitment will require of them. And then I found that once you get them to come to something, they're more likely to show up again. And so I'll give you kind of an example of how we did it when I was Congressman Bishop's campaign manager. I was one of a handful of paid staffers. Most of the people that worked on the team, there were about 10 of us that were involved, were volunteers. And we would start by identifying the volunteers that were the most willing to do everything that we asked them to do. And we gave them a title. And so that would be one of my recommendations as well, is to be very, very liberal with titles. Give them out like candy. It doesn't matter. They matter to the people that have them, but it doesn't matter to you if you give people titles or not, but it really makes a difference to them. And it makes them feel like they're part of the process. They're part of the team and that they're invested in your future and in your campaign. So I would make people field representatives, and for the really active volunteers, I'd make them field directors. If a volunteer was really well known in a local community, I'd make them the campaign lead for that community. And so it's just giving them ownership of what they're doing will really help them. It's a process, though. You know, you start by getting them to come out to one event, see how they do, and then those that are able to and you feel comfortable with, continuously giving them more and more responsibility is a way to activate them and get them invested in your campaign. We used volunteers for everything, from going to events and wearing t-shirts to expand the number of people that are out there supporting the member of Congress, to parades or a huge campaign volunteer event where we'd have them throwing candy and handing out literature, to going to events and just representing the member of Congress and handing out literature, or on some of the legislative races that I've worked, volunteers can be really helpful to help with canvassing days when you're going door knocking and talking to voters one-on-one. And so you just, my biggest advice for you in activating volunteers is to come to them with something specifically to do, and something to do that week or within the next couple of weeks, because the sooner you can get them active, the sooner they'll want to engage more with you. And then once you've got a volunteer that's active, keep them active. Continue to involve them in your campaign. By this point, Eileen, I hope you've had like kind of an idea of, you've created a calendar, or at least have an idea of what you need to do before election day. And for those of you that are running for office or considering running for office, involving your volunteers in the campaign calendar by helping them to know what's on the horizon and where they can be of most help will really get them to be the most engaged volunteers that you can get. Some of my best campaign paid employees started out as volunteers, and those were the ones that were just the most active. When it comes to recruiting volunteers, I took a kind of a shotgun approach. And so sometimes people would come to you and ask if they could volunteer. That's awesome when they come. Those are the ones that you want to use immediately. Other times it may take you looking for people around you who may be who may be involved in the community, and you think that they could be a great voice for you and your campaign. The influencers, if you will. And so you have to go proactively look for those and ask them to be engaged. Another way that you can get people to volunteer or to look for people you can recruit to volunteer is who's engaging on your campaign social media accounts. If they live near you, asking them to volunteer and engage is a great way to just tap into people that are already connecting with you. I can tell you, sometimes you'd be surprised by how willing people are to engage with you after they've been engaging on your social media accounts. So my wife, as Jen mentioned, she's involved in politics. She's in the Utah legislature. And when we posted on Facebook, her Facebook account, that we were going to be doing some canvassing for one of her campaigns, asking for volunteers to come help canvass, people signed up on the Google spreadsheet. And a couple of people that signed up lived 2 hours away, up in the top of Northern Utah, and we'd never met them before, but they just really liked what she was doing and were willing to drive 2 hours to come help canvass for 3 hours and then drive back home. And so I think that, and we asked her if she'd been involved in campaigns before, and she said no, but she had never been asked to be involved with a campaign before. And she just was engaging on social media and liked what was being said. And so I learned a really important lesson that day, is that some people are being asked by candidates and campaigns to be involved, but you may not be utilizing all of your methods of communication to ask people. And so asking people on social media, asking them in your personal conversations with them, asking them in email newsletters that you may send out, use all of the different forms of communication that you're using as a candidate to invite people to engage in your campaign. For this audience, just one warning, you know, as members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, we have a built-in network of relationships within our communities through our wards. But, you know, church policy is very clear that you cannot use church accounts or church facilities or resources for political purposes. So although it may be tempting to use your tools directory, do not do that. That's a big no-no. And so just a word of warning for this audience in particular, just to avoid using that. But you can use your relationships within your ward and within your community. And so when you're starting to look for volunteers, I recommend you look to those around you that know you the most, your friends and family, your neighbors, as a first core group of volunteers. Eileen, you probably have already gone that route, and you may have found, like many other candidates find, that group is fantastic and they say that they love you and they appreciate you, and they do, but they're also really busy and it's sometimes hard to activate them. And so they're not always the most active volunteers, the friends, family, and neighbors, but they can help you for some events. And sometimes they are active, but I found that oftentimes they're a group that candidates expect to do the most, and they don't always deliver what candidates expect. And part of that too. Oh, go ahead. Sorry, Eileen.
So I totally feel that way because I thought at least my husband and my four sons would be on my side, but it has been like pulling teeth to get them to deliver flyers. My husband hasn't gone out to do anything. He's complained I haven't made dinner and it's been hard for him. So, you know, I need to take my kids to do flyers today. But I think what you said about telling people what you want to do, what you want them to do and when is going to be helpful, because I've said to people, would you volunteer with me? And they'll be like, no, I've got this calling and this and that and that. And I'm like, I'm not asking for the world here. I'm thinking, I'm only asking for like 2 hours, I'm sure. Or you could find 2 hours to help me somewhere. So maybe coming up straight saying, when you say volunteer, would you help me for 2 hours next week to go canvassing is more than, like, I knew a woman that campaigned for a congressional candidate. And I asked her to volunteer and help me. And she's like, no, I can't. And I'm like, really? Like, but in her mind, it was just this huge thing that she couldn't commit to.
It's so tough. And that's really why
helps to say time limit.
Yeah. But helping them to realize that they can be done in bite-sized, manageable blocks. One method that I've seen that's been really effective is to create just a Google spreadsheet and say, you know, these are the events where I need volunteers. This is how many volunteers I need, and this is how long I will need them for, and this is what you'll be doing. Please, would you be willing to sign up for one of these things? At least one of these things. Another way, Eileen, with canvassing that I've seen that's become really effective is to create route packets. And so if you can ask people if they'd be willing to help you and volunteer, and you have your canvassing materials broken out between different routes, and you say, hey, you know, if you're willing to come knock doors any day between now and election day, I've got a route packet for you that you can use for 30 minutes. And these are the doors that I would need you to knock and deliver the literature, and just take them and let me know when you're able to finish them. I found that that's been a really effective way for people that say they may not have time during your set events or set canvassing periods, that they can find time when they have an open window. And I found that to be especially effective for people like that, maybe like stay-at-home moms or those that are in the community and have a, you know, 15 minute window here that they can go walk around their neighborhood, a 20 minute there that they, you know, want to go walk the dog and do something while they're walking the dog. That's one way to just make it bite-sized and manageable and customized to the individual needs of the volunteers that you might know really well. Charmaine, to your point about you know, having younger kids and the challenge or hesitancy of hauling them along, I totally understand that. My wife and I, we have a 2-year-old, and canvassing with a toddler was the prospect of canvassing with a toddler was stressful, very stressful. We made it really fun, and we pulled them around in the wagon, and it was tough because you had to do it in 2-year-old increments as opposed to what you may want to do as a candidate. We would do it in 20-minute increments, but it made it actually a game that became a lot of fun. And so for those that may have younger kids, I would just say to not shy away from the general campaign processes, because all of the data shows that the most impactful way to reach a voter, and you probably have already had this discussion, Jen, I'm not sure, it's in-person conversations. It's the shoe leather politicking, as they like to phrase it. That's the most impactful way to mobilize a voter, is that in-person touch point, followed up with a phone discussion, and then the least or the third is a mail, and then the least is, you know, radio or television. And so that those in-person conversations and those in-person canvassing events are why the volunteers are so important. They can really help mobilize your voters as you mobilize these volunteers. A couple of other things, where might you look for volunteers? We've talked about friends, family, neighbors, that they may be willing to help for some of it. Another group that I'd recommend looking to is any school groups in your area. If you have, you know, college Republicans, college Democrats in your community, those clubs are looking for ways to engage. And by using those school groups, a lot of these kids, they're looking for opportunities to build their resumes. And so if you give them a title, pitch it to them as a resume building opportunity and some experience. Others that I found that are really impactful volunteers are the elderly. Senior citizens are some of the most engaged residents of a community, and oftentimes are looking for more things to do during their schedule. And so mobilizing them, the senior citizens that you may have relationships with, or just senior citizens in your community, they're really oftentimes an untapped resource for campaigns that I would highly encourage you to utilize. I'll tell one example that I saw with that. We had, when I was doing Congressman Bishop's campaign, there was a gem of a woman in Cache Valley who was over 80. She was pretty experienced. And she was homebound, so she actually couldn't go to events, but she was a passionate supporter of Congressman Bishop. And so I would actually we would do our own mailers. It was one of the ways we saved money. We would lick envelopes and put stamps on them. I'd actually bring stacks of mailers over for her and have her help me fill the envelopes, and we'd also do calling parties with her at her house. So a few of us would come over to her house, and we would call potential voters in the area and have her engage. And so I'd recommend, as you're looking for different opportunities for volunteers, to customize the opportunities for them to engage based upon their abilities and their interests. I've talked a ton. Yeah, go ahead.
You sparked an idea when you talked about asking, you know, college Republicans and Democrats. I love that idea. And when I used to interview interns, they were always looking for, you know, more things to put on their resume. So I like your advice was important to not, you know, send anything out on LDS tools, but look around your local congregations and those kids who are applying for college or applying for jobs. Like Andy's idea of giving them a title is genius, because then they can put, you know, campaign volunteer for Eileen Hampton's campaign. And even if you gave them a title, you know, they can put that there. So I love your idea, Andy, of those people who need the experience and also can walk a long way is a good resource.
Thanks. Yeah, I can tell you that that's how I got started, was college Republicans, and campaigns would come and ask for us to get involved. And we just looked for opportunities to engage. And it was a great learning experience for me and resume builder, and one thing led to another. And so I highly recommend looking to the youth around you and to those college groups that maybe would be interested in engaging in what you're doing, whether it's nonpartisan or partisan. There's a lot of organizations, that youth organizations that you can tap into. I'd really like to hear what questions you all have. I know I've been talking a ton, or any ideas that you may have experienced that you'd like to discuss as well.
Andy, how would you, when you invite a bunch of people out to canvass, like for a city council race, for example, or Charmaine with a judgeship, I imagine those volunteers don't know a lot about her platform. What's the best way to educate your volunteers? How would you go about that once you've got them in your grasp?
That's a great question. So whenever I would do like any kind of an event where volunteers may be interacting with the public, which is basically anytime you're going to bring them out, I'd have a pre-meeting with them to talk about the purpose of the event or the goal of the activity. I'd refresh them on the candidate's platform and key points. I would share with them any current events or relevant news that they may be asked about and where the candidate stood on those issues for their awareness. And I would also say that if people ask a lot of questions or want to dive deeper, to collect their information and then share them and promise them that either the candidate or somebody from one of the campaign officials would reach out to them and have a discussion with them. They'd love to talk more. I would highly discourage having volunteers engage in long discussions with people, just because they can't do it, but just because the best people to have those discussions are the candidates themselves, or the campaign staffers, or sometimes it's just best to not have that discussion because the person's a lost cause and you don't really need to spend more time talking to them. Just helping calm any concerns that volunteers may have. For some campaigns, this may be the first time that this person's ever volunteered for anybody, and so they may need a little bit more handholding than others. And then I will always just see if they had any questions and try to engage with them before we went out and did this. And I hope it goes without saying, but expressing gratitude often at the beginning, throughout, and at the end to all of the volunteers goes a long way. And just helping to recognize those volunteers at each event is something that I always tried to make a point of, just to help them realize that their service was important and valuable. I don't know if that helps answer that question, Jen. Tips for managing and scheduling volunteers. Great question. So a couple of things that I've seen that work really well is full transparency with volunteers. When you've got volunteers that want to engage, help them to know all the different events that you're going to want them to engage on or may need them to engage on. But that doesn't mean to show them everything. I would always have an internal document that I would create that would gauge what type of volunteers I have. And so I'd categorize them. So whether they were volunteers that are willing to come to just honk and waves, or are they a volunteer that I feel confident doing canvassing? Or is it a volunteer that I would just rather honestly not put them in front of voters and maybe use them for like process stuff? That's one thing I highly recommend you do is as you start recruiting volunteers, identify where their skills are, where some of their weaknesses are, and how you could see them being best utilized. And then through that document, I'd also track what events they would come to, and what events they said they would come to. And if there were any discrepancies in the two, because there often are, just see if there's a pattern of volunteers that aren't coming to a lot of stuff, and just helps you to know who may be a more impactful volunteer and who may have been more of a flash in the pan and not really a long-term commitment. And spend the time on those that you see as being the most impactful and the most committed, or those that have the potential to be the most impactful or the most committed. Some volunteers that may not show up but have expressed a willingness to do so. You may see them as being somebody that you may see opportunities to activate them by just alleviating some of their concerns. And so it just takes a little bit of organization on your part as the candidate or the campaign to just kind of see who they are and where you think they may be able to fit in. And then regular communication with the volunteers is key to keeping them engaged, and then having a steady cadence of things for them to do. When their opportunities to engage fall off, it's really hard to re-engage them. But it's a balancing effort because you don't want to overburden them to the point that they don't want to engage anymore. And so making sure that those opportunities to engage are manageable for their times. It may sound a little bit overwhelming, but I want to just say that campaign volunteers are the key to you as a candidate being able to maximize your reach in your race. And it really, campaign volunteers, it takes a little work to activate, to organize, and to manage them. That work is on the front end, though, for the most part. And then once you've got the process in place, campaign volunteers can be a huge outlet for a lot of the stress that you may have as a candidate. You don't have to do it all by yourself. And for some volunteers, they can be the difference between having a meltdown towards the end of the election, towards the election day, or feeling very comfortable with where you're at. Question I have is, do I have any advice for a complete political newbie who wants to get involved as a volunteer but doesn't know how? Yes. Reach out to find an elected official that you like, or somebody that's running for office that you find you like what they're saying, and offer to help their campaign, and offer to do specific things that you may be interested in doing. When I got an offer from somebody to volunteer, if they offered to not just volunteer, but hey, I'd love to help knock doors, we activated them immediately. It just takes being bold and reaching out. And most candidates and elected officials are excited to hear that people want to engage with them. And then those opportunities, they open doors. I don't know how many of you know this, but you know, Utah's Lieutenant Governor Deidre Henderson started out as a campaign volunteer and then became a congressional campaign manager and then got elected to the legislature. Now is Lieutenant Governor. Like I said, I started out as a volunteer and then got paid to do this and kind of went elsewhere. But just reaching out is the best thing. And the question I just got is, what's the best way to reach out to an elected official to volunteer? I say the best way to reach out is, if you can, it's in person. Sometimes that's not possible, but I would try to catch them at a meeting, like if it's a city council race or a state legislator, in person is going to be the best way to reach out to them. Online, the realities are that, you know, elected officials get a lot of communications. And so sometimes offers to volunteer may get lost in the mass amount of communications that they receive. And so if you're not hearing back from an elected official that you've offered to volunteer, I try again and again, because I know that legislators have, you know, 400, 500, 600 plus emails in their inboxes, and it's sometimes hard to get through those. And so if possible, talk to them in person. And then when not, online or by phone, but you'll probably have to be more persistent through those methods. Those are great questions. Any other questions? I know it can sound daunting, and Eileen, I hats off to you for talking to people that you already know. Sometimes that's too much of a hurdle for people to even overcome initially. It's hard to ask for people for help, especially those that you know and love, and it's a vulnerable experience. And keep doing it. And I think that as you do it with opportunities for specific help, they'll get engaged. I will say, you know, your experiences with your husband and kids, I also understand that, having been on the campaign side, but then also being a spouse, sometimes it's tough to be a spouse of a candidate, and it is a little taxing for family to constantly be asked to engage. And so that's why it's helpful to build a network of volunteers that's broad enough that you don't always pull from the same pool, but not too broad that it doesn't create opportunities for them to engage regularly.
Hopefully it's like anything with parenting, right? Like they're going to complain about it at the time, but it'll shape them as humans down the road. So keep asking them, Eileen. And I'm sure your son, Andy, will have fond memories of that wagon. So
thank you very much for that comment. I appreciate it.
Yeah, for sure. I would also say, I mean, maybe, I don't know how old your kids are, but give them a title. I mean, they could use it for a resume. It doesn't hurt. Even if it is their mom's campaign to be, you know, a field representative for a city council campaign. That's a great title to have for a kid.
My boys are between 9 and 13. I took the 9-year-old campaigning with me once, and that was a disaster because we were trying to put flyers quietly at somebody's door, but he was too loud and she came to the door.
Yeah, it's tough when you're getting kids involved in the process. But, you know, I also think that people get that. They understand they're real. You know, I think it helps them to see that candidates are real people with real lives and real experiences. And I wouldn't shy away from that. That's one recommendation I have, is when you are using family and friends, don't shy away from the fact that they are your family and friends and you're a real person. And, you know, you're trying to not disrupt people, but you've got a 9-year-old and you're running for office. And hey, you know what? The city, being on the city council is like managing a bunch of kids. You know, it's a process. And so you've got that experience, and I wouldn't shy away from that. There was another great question on here, is how have you seen the effectiveness of social media for engaging and communicating with volunteers working as opposed to in person? Social media is a great way. It's a great tool to let people know about the candidate. It's a great tool to let people know about potential campaign opportunities. It's a good tool to help get people engaged. It's not the best tool, in my opinion, to maintain consistent contact with volunteers. I use social media as a bring people in, and then I do phone calls and emails or text messages to maintain that constant contact with the volunteers. So that's my recommendation, is definitely use social media to bring people in. Sometimes, depending on the kind of race, you know, you have to maintain message discipline, but sometimes people shy away from presenting volunteer opportunities on their social media accounts. I would not. Most people that engage on your social media platforms are already supporters. And so I wouldn't always have messages about volunteer opportunities on your campaign social media accounts, but I would do it periodically, and you'd be surprised by who will engage. That one of the things that I found when I was doing Congressman Bishop's campaign is a lot of people had just never been asked to be involved because it was a pretty conservative district, and his reelection was all but guaranteed every single year. And so the people just weren't as engaged in the election because of that. But there, a lot of people loved the idea of being involved. And so when they were just asked to be involved, they wanted to jump in and do it. Another question I got is, are there any free or inexpensive software or online tools I'd recommend for scheduling or managing volunteers? That's a great question. I didn't use any. I used Google Docs, Google Sheets to help manage that process, and then just the campaign email that we would use. But there are a lot of great platforms out there that you can tap into. One that's can be free is Signup Genius. You can create different events where you want people to sign up for, and it helps you to manage those signups. There are limits how many signups you can create, and they have ads. And so that is a great resource, though. And I've used that in other in other ways, not through campaigns, but that's one tool that you can use is SignUp Genius. You can also, you can create social media polls to see like what kind of ways people may be willing to engage in your campaign, just to help start to see where the interest lies or if there is any interest in volunteering. There is risk in doing that though, because if nobody answers, then it could seem publicly like you may not have as much support. So weighing the pros and cons of that is something to consider. But SignUp Genius was one that I really liked, and it is free. Great questions. Any other questions about volunteers, managing volunteers? I would say for those that, not on the management front, but those that may be interested in volunteering, if you aren't yet, I highly encourage you to do so, because it's a great experience. You get to interact with candidates. You get to do things that you may never have done. And volunteers that are incredibly engaged often get opportunities to do other things because of their engagement. And then on the management side, I'd say look for ways to reward volunteers. Even if you can't pay them, do a volunteer appreciation dinner. If you have opportunities to do things with VIPs, look for ways to bring volunteers to those. Just helping to make the experience extra special for them will help increase their commitment to your campaign and make them want to engage with you more often. Like, for example, we had a VIP come in for a fundraiser, and I brought some of the most active volunteers to that fundraiser to engage with. He was the House Majority Leader at the time. Now the McCarthy, and probably will be the Speaker of the House at some point. And so it was a great opportunity for them to get a photo with Kevin McCarthy, and they really were able to engage. And it's something that they'll always remember. And so look for ways to make it special for them too.
I love that, Andy. Way to come full circle and how to recruit and then how to think, because sometimes you forget. Well, hopefully you don't, but you can forget. You have to run again in 2, 4, or however many years. And so you want to keep these core volunteers happy. And you did a great job with that, because you've got some lifelong people that have got involved in your different campaigns. Any other questions before we let Andy go? I love that we're going to have this in our library on our website, Andy, because it's been just such a wealth of information, both from the, you know, people wanting to recruit campaign volunteers and those who want to engage, maybe like you're saying, in their first ever, you know, civic engagement. And so we're just so happy to have you with us today. To the women who've joined, who are considering running or are running, good luck. Please stay in touch with us. Let us know how we can support you individually and as a group. I'm sure Andy would be willing to mentor one-on-one should you need it. And please just reach out to us and I can connect you with him. Because as you know, as you've seen today, he's wonderful.